on Talk to That.
Well, in chemistry, you did sacrifice a gummy bear.
Do you know about spontaneous combustion?
Yeah. It's things that happen, and it happened to my pants.
Cow is wearing VR goggles.
It's more funny to say the fart.
Spontaneous cow combustion.
That just tastes up like half the planet.
Now I'm cranky. I wanted to do the bad joke.
This is pointless.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to Talk to Dad podcast episode 267. This is our third podcast in 2022, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
So far.
3 weeks, three podcasts.
Successfully recorded a podcast a week. Although ideally I would have done it yesterday, but we're still getting it done on the weekend. It's a Sunday. I think listening to that previously on, I think we should adopt a new slogan for our podcast. This is pointless. This podcast is definitely pointless.
It's fun.
I've got Will here with me.
Hello.
And also Allison.
Hi.
A person also known as Mom around this house. And we're sitting here in mid to late January, and it's been cold, and our family is a little bit obsessed with Wordle, like just, many people in this country.
Just a little bit.
I don't completely, like, it's pretty fun. I don't completely get the hype, though. Like, I don't know.
I think a lot of it is the social media sharing of your Wordle squares. For people that don't know what Wordle is, Google it. If you have not heard about it, a lot of people have heard about it. A lot of people are doing it. It's a word puzzle a day. You get six guesses to guess a five-letter word. And that's pretty much it. I mean, you will guess a word, and then it will tell you if you got any of the correct answers and or any of the correct letters and whether the letters are in the right position or not.
Yeah. I kind of love it because it's you can only play once a day. So it can't take up your entire life. It's just like one puzzle a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is nice that it's kind of weird though. Like when you do it super early in the morning, then you're like, well, no, there's nothing else to do except share your Wordle score with your friends online or your family on the group chat.
There's nothing else to do for your whole entire day.
I mean, there's no other word. It's kind of nice that way though. I've kind of come to appreciate the fact, you know, when they first started putting like games on your phone, like, I think the first one I experienced this with was Candy Crush. And you had like five lives every half hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like every half hour after that, you would get one life. And in a way, it's kind of nice because it regulates your behavior. And what they're really trying to do is get you to buy lives. But I would never buy lives. But
yeah, anyone who like buys the like in-game currency and stuff, like,
right. That's when you know that your life is going absolutely nowhere. But probably spent way back when Candy Crush was a thing, I probably spent way too much time playing Candy Crush. But I think of how much more time I would have spent if they didn't regulate how many lives you get. So the nice thing about Wordle is you only play it once a day. And the other nice thing about it is like everyone around the world who's playing Wordle is playing the exact same puzzle.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's like this sort of collective consciousness thing about it that's kind of cool. So every day, like we share our results on our, it seems like that's mostly what we talk about on our family group chat these days.
It has taken over our family group chat completely.
A little bit. I sent Phoebe, I'm looking for it right now, a TikTok from John Green that kind of summarizes how I feel about Wordle. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is.
I feel like we've had all these seasons of the pandemic. Like we had like Tiger King pandemic, and then we had sourdough bread making pandemic. And now it's like season 13 and it's Wordle pandemic. And I like Wordle. I think it's great and everything. I think that the part that I don't like so much though is the, it's the pandemic part. I feel like
that's how I feel about Wordle. But I don't know. We just had a family Zoom with my extended family.
Those are always interesting.
And there were three people on the Zoom that have COVID.
At the moment.
At the moment.
And a few others who had it like a week ago.
And there were several people who their schools have been shut down and they're only virtual because of COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know. In our family, and we've already talked about this, we're not revealing any personal medical information. I guess we are, but we've already done it. So, but Elizabeth's the only one in our immediate family who's had it that we know of.
Didn't Phoebe get it?
No.
No,
she thought she did. She was exposed like a whole bunch the first week back at college.
But she tested and she tested and she tested. And she's not tested positive.
Yep.
I thought I had it over the holidays, but tested three times.
We all got like sick at the same time as Elizabeth, but only Elizabeth tested positive.
It was right. Well, we weren't. So weird. We didn't quite get sick at the same time. We had been fighting. We were sick all through December, and like I would get sick, and like 4 days later you were sick, and 4 days later Henry was sick, and then Santi was sick, and then Dad was sick, and then Phoebe came and visited us and got sick.
I think we were passing around the same cold, is what it was.
Yeah. We had like viral cold and sore throat, but we all tested and tested and tested. We had like a stash of home tests that we used, and we also did like the PCR, like official test through the city, and we never had it. We were just sick. But yeah, I feel like we're like the last surviving people on the planet that haven't had COVID now. I should totally knock on wood.
They're saying, and I read these articles, as a lot of people do, but they're saying that Omicron is either peaked or close to peaking. But, you know, as it declines, it will continue to spread. And by the time it's done spreading, like half the country will have gotten it. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty, those are pretty high odds of getting it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this pandemic kind of sucks just because, like as bad and as like depressing and stuff as like the 2020 part of the stage of the pandemic was, I feel like there was at least stuff like going on with it. Like everyone is staying at home and like everyone is like doing all these different trends and stuff. Whereas now it's just like still going, but like.
Yeah. I mean, the only difference for me is I try to be hopeful that we're near the end. Now we don't know that for sure, but it's sort of feeling like it.
Yeah. For me, it's a huge difference knowing that, you know, we're vaccinated and our chances of being like seriously ill, hospitalized, dying are like super, super low.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference to me. Like, it doesn't stress me out personally. It's just kind of another gross thing. It's like, you know, most seasons, I can remember like years and years ago when like everybody got a stomach bug in the elementary schools. Like, it was on a Valentine's Day and I was a room mom. So I went to go help with the class party and all these kids were gone and all these teachers were gone. And like the assistant room parents were all gone because they were all at home with a stomach bug. And while I was there, like directing the class party, a kid like threw up like in the classroom. And it had to be cleaned up and he left. And then a couple of other kids started feeling sick and had to leave. And like, this is what it reminds me of. It's just a gross year for people getting sick.
Is there any worse vomit than school vomit?
No. And it's like always on that carpet that can't really be cleaned very well. I mean, there might be,
but it's got to be in the top five.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like the carpeted hard floors.
Oh, yeah.
I remember in kindergarten, like throwing up on my desk. Handed the trash can to me for me to carry around.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I remember kind of crying a bit and going like, I want to go home, and then throwing up.
Of course. Yeah. Of course you want to go home when you're feeling like that.
I think that having the flu at that time is the reason why I don't like almonds. It wasn't because I threw them up, but it was just because I had like
these. You had them recently before that.
Yeah, these like chocolate coated almonds. And I think for a while I like associated it with that.
But that Valentine's class party, like I will never forget because there were all these announcements going on, like over the intercom asking for custodians to go to various rooms.
Was that code green? Code, there's got to be a.
No, they were just, can we please have a custodian?
Bring a mop.
Yes.
Bring a bucket.
To room 203. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing, so one reason I'm hoping that things are going to get better here in the next few weeks is 41 days from today, we're planning on going to New York City.
Oh, yeah?
I'm getting very excited about it, actually. I think I need to start planning it. You boys have never been to New York City, but it's a pretty cool city.
I've heard it's a pretty cool city.
It goes without saying that it's a cool city. I think everyone sort of recognizes it's a pretty cool city. There's a lot of really cool things to see there. One of the things I'm most excited about is we got tickets to see American Utopia with David Byrne.
Mm.
That should be really fun. It's like him, it's like a dance and singing and music with a lot of his music and the Talking Heads music. And it's supposed to be a really cool show. Speaking of shows, you and Santi went on your senior trip yesterday to downtown Dallas and saw Hadestown.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
With the orchestra. It's the orchestra senior trip.
Yeah, your orchestra senior trip.
Which is really just like a day trip.
And Hadestown is still playing in Broadway. And it's a very popular show. So tell us about the trip and tell us about Hadestown.
So I think first we stopped for senior pictures in this like super rich neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
It was in Highland Park. I saw the picture.
I can't remember the
pretty
name.
Pretty much the fanciest neighborhood.
It's in Highland
Dallas,
Park,
yeah.
With all the mansions.
I think I heard some person mention that it was like one of the richest cities like in the country, in the world or something. I don't know.
It is.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really small. It's its own city, but it's in the middle of Dallas. And I think the per capita wealth and income is pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we took pictures there. Then we stopped at a Mexican restaurant. And we got there and like they had like chips and like also salsa plates and like guacamole and like beans to dip it in and like all this extra stuff, and then like they dealed out our food and we like could hardly even fit everything on the table. That was kind of
I don't want to dox anyone's uncle, but you did go to Uncle Julio's.
Yeah. Well, Uncle Julio deserves it.
Uncle Julio.
Did you enjoy Uncle Julio's?
Yeah, that was pretty fun. At one point at one point we like all had to use the bathrooms, like we all went in the men's room, but we were just like, we're supposedly in line waiting to use the bathroom, but we were kind of just like in a circle, just arranged in like really formal attire. And like, it kind of looked like we were like starting a mafia there or something. I think someone who wasn't in our trip like entered there and like saw us and was like, holy crap.
Where are there 50?
It was really funny. They're like, geez.
Some intimidating orchestra students.
That was really funny.
By the men's
20
room.
Orchestra students all and dressed people, up looking serious.
Like orchestra students just kept on coming in, just joining the circle. It was really funny. Yeah, after that we
did you drove. Get to order food or they just have like a buffet for you?
They had
like, they had options.
Yeah, we had three different options. I think it was like either a veggie fajita, since some people are vegetarian, a beef and chicken, or a fish taco, since some people are pescatarian, I guess.
What did you get?
I got the
beef and chicken fajita.
Yeah, although by the time I got it, like it was the kind of thing where like you kind of get like half full off the appetizers,
yeah,
and then like once you get the food,
that's the thing about Tex-Mex especially, is like if you get the guacamole and the queso and the chips
beans,
and salsa, you kind of feel like all right, I could leave.
I just
now.
Had just nachos for check. Dinner
yeah
and then there were churros, weren't there?
Yeah, there are churros.
I know all about this menu because
like chocolate dip.
I was the one from the orchestra booster club that like called around and like found a restaurant that could accommodate 40 people and like haggled over the menu because half of them were vegetarian.
Options.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the menu and thinking they're not going to, I doubt anybody's going to really be in the mood for churros after having chips, salsa, guac, queso, beans, fajitas, tacos.
Did you see Tio Julio?
It's Uncle Julio's.
No.
Not Tio.
He didn't
maybe,
come
I
visit
know.
Your table and say,
hey,
hola.
Hey, it's me,
hola.
Uncle
hola.
Julio.
Me amo Tio Julio. My Spanish is really bad. If Santi ever listens to this, he will be like,
you can call me.
He's probably in another
Uncle
room
Julio.
Just groaning.
Just rolling over.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So from there, we drove to the musical, which we ended up being like 15 minutes late on, but whatever. On the way there, like this alarm kept
when
on.
When you say late, you weren't like after curtain though, right?
You know, we were.
You were after
curtain,
yeah,
you missed the first?
We missed the first couple songs.
Oh, gosh.
We got the basic plot. I mean,
got the idea.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
General idea.
I don't think we missed too much. But on the way there, this like little like emergency, like ringing noise kept on going off. It was like a...
On the bus? The school bus?
And like every time it would happen, I think the first time it happens, the one yelled like, guys, harmonize with it. And they would like start humming like a chord. And so then every time it went off, like you'd just hear everyone instantly just start harmonizing.
So that what key awesome, was it but in?
Maybe also terrible.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Can you imitate the sound? What did it sound like?
I can't remember what it sounded like. But I figured out that was actually my... on some of the windows, there's this little like emergency exit lever. And I figured out it was actually mine where like whenever we like hit a... stumping like a thump in the road it would go off
by your
because it'd shake
by your like window. The window
by your seat.
Yeah, so I had to just like keep my hand just like fixed on it to stop it from shaking.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was kind of funny. But yeah, it was a pretty good play. It was really good.
It was at the Windspear Opera House, right?
Yeah,
it's a cool building. I have never
been there. When they built that, it got like all kinds of praise for being this really cool venue for music and opera and all that, but I've still not been there.
Yeah, I toured it with a school group like before I just when it was brand new. They took a school group through there and I forget like why we were, I think we went to the Dallas Museum of Art and then they also took us on a tour at the new opera house while we were there.
Yeah. But the show was good.
They had all the instrument, like they weren't singing from a track. They had like all a whole bunch of instrumentalists on stage. Except for the drummer was for some reason off stage until the...
Oh, they had a band on stage? That's cool.
Yeah, they had like, you know, like a cellist and a bassist and a guitarist. And the pianist was really, really good.
Yeah, I bet.
There were some really good songs. It was like, it was all musicals. I said that it was an opera and Santi had opinions when I said that, but...
Santi has strict definitions for what qualifies as an opera. He's thinking like Italian, German.
But it was really good. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all that happened. When we got back, we talked about how it was a metaphor for corporatism.
which probably is.
Probably.
Yeah, in a few ways. I haven't
watched it, but I've heard that it is based on the myth of...
Orpheus.
Orpheus and...
But set in, like, Hades. Like, Hades and... I don't know.
Well, Hades it's is set in character. In,
I know, but... What's it?
The underworld.
What's the underworld? Yeah.
I forgot what it's
Hades.
Called.
Right,
I
mean, Hades Town.
Isn't that where the myth is set?
I don't know.
That's like
anyway,
one of the locations.
I think it's like two different.
He visits Hades.
But
in
I
the
think
myth.
That they, do they have like Hades and Persephone in it too?
Yeah.
Like, so they, I think it's like two different myths that they kind of squish together.
I forgot what the location is called. I think there is a word for it. Like Tartarus? Is
Persephone the one that eats the pomegranate?
Yes. Wait, yeah. Is Tartarus part of the underworld?
I don't remember.
Tartarus, I thought, was the Roman word for Hades.
No. Isn't it like a isn't Pluto?
We're, yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah, Pluto.
Yeah, I think
what
Pluto
the heck we're
Hades.
Talking about.
We
basically.
Don't. Anyway,
we don't know
it's
what
the underworld.
Used to know more
it's
about
the
it.
Underworld. And what was the music like? Is it kind of jazzy?
Music was kind of, yeah, there were jazz parts. Some of it was kind of like classic R&B, kind of had some like soul in there.
Maybe Tartarus is the Greek and Hades is the Roman.
No, Hades is Greek.
We're clearly experts.
And then Pluto is the Roman.
Yeah.
Tartarus is something
but
else.
For the location.
Yeah, oh. Tartarus is the location.
Is it?
It's not like the location. Anyway. I think it's a part of...
Hades Town. We'll just call it Hades Town. Or the underworld.
Heck.
Anyway.
Anyways.
No, I think Hades is the location.
I think we've talked about...
but also...
The
death. Wait.
Like anyone can even know that. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we have the internet. We can look it up.
It was a bad place. This is a bad place. Or yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So speaking of alarms that were going off near you, I did replace your smoke alarm in your room. So randomly your smoke alarm would go off like every morning, just a couple of times.
Yeah, and the first time
really
it happened, everyone claimed
alarming.
They never heard it.
We didn't hear it.
And
appropriately alarming, I guess.
I was being gaslit.
I mean, I wasn't trying to gaslight you. I just didn't hear it. But I did hear it like the second time it went off, or maybe the third time. I don't know. And I went to change it, and I changed it. I replaced it with like this battery one that's got a lithium battery in it. So you only have to change it like once every 10 years. You don't have to put the little 9-volt in it. And I went to put it on, and I saw that there was this little thing on the back that said, like, if you twist this... I thought you had to twist it and break a little tab. And then I realized I didn't read the instructions, and you're only supposed to do that like when you're done and you want to throw it away to discharge the battery. And I was like, oops. And so I reversed it. So anyway, what I'm saying is your new smoke detector might be defective.
Okay.
If you notice it being defective, cool. It's your dad's fault, and I will replace it again.
Can you test it?
Yeah, I tested it after.
Oh, yeah, I let off a small fire.
Twisted it back. Yeah. And
there's only one way to really test it.
It does work again.
I mean, you could light a match right near
there. There's a test button. You push down the test button in it.
Oh, that's better than lighting a fire.
But that doesn't really test it.
So there's actually two ways to test it.
At least.
And it is the preferred way, is pushing the test button.
Okay.
That's not... I mean, you don't truly know if it works that way.
We got that fixed. There's been a lot more work done on our pool in the last week. It seemed like nothing happened for several weeks in a row. And then we had an electrician and a plumber and the people doing the stone around our deck were all here kind of almost at once, and an inspector. They set up all of our pool equipment. They like connected it all. If you go around the corner here, you can see it's all connected. But our backyard still kind of looks like a construction site.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's post-apocalyptic.
It's hard to get around. There's like big piles of dirt. It looks better than it did, because at least it's not dug up as much as it was, but...
Well, they filled in some of the hole with dirt.
One more week, I think it's going to look a lot better, but it's still kind of dug up.
Yeah.
Looks like the finale to Avengers Endgame.
I am excited. I think when we get it all done, like 100% done, and the pool is up and running... We should like heat it up and have a pool party,
even if it's cold.
I'm afraid it's going to be
grand opening pool party.
I'm afraid it's going to be completed like a week before I go to college at this point.
I think you'll get a good spring and early summer.
Yeah.
I mean, you won't go to college until the fall, so
yeah,
you'll have the whole summer to swim in it.
Yep.
But it'd be fun to like heat it up, even if it's like, you know, still February. And still a little bit cold outside. It'd be fun to heat it up and have a pool party and invite people over. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be fun, right?
February, I feel like, is really optimistic. But, you know, maybe it could happen. Maybe.
It could happen.
I had a friend who, Ben Curtis, I think he's been on the podcast before, but like a while ago.
Yep. Shout out to Ben.
Yeah. Every year he would invite us to like a New Year's pool jump, where he would jump into the pool at January 1st.
Yeah.
And it would be like...
Polar bear plunge.
Yeah, it would be like so cold that we would like, it would kind of be hard to breathe for a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think that...
Then we play games afterwards.
I don't know if we'll do that because, well, maybe we will. Who knows? Maybe if you're home for New Year's, you can do it.
Maybe.
And I will watch. I'll even provide you a warm towel.
Yeah,
I don't know that I will jump in though. I'm just saying right now.
I don't know where I'll be like at New Year's actually.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, that's weird to think about, but it's true.
I honestly, because I'll probably like do a semester of college and then I'll leave for my mission for my church. But I've honestly been thinking like, yeah, but if I leave like before January 1st, 2023, I won't be able to see my Spotify Wrapped. Like that's been like a like actual like, consideration.
There will be many things you don't see, and that's okay.
Yeah, I know, but
it's okay.
You know.
What about, this sounds like I'm not changing the subject, but I'm actually changing the subject. What do you think about like current TV shows and movies right now? Is there anything you're excited about?
I'm really excited about Moon Knight. Moon Knight looks really, actually, I think the two next like Marvel projects, Moon Knight and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, both look really good.
Multiverse of Madness is a movie, right?
Yeah.
And Moon Knight is a TV show?
Yep.
I don't know what that is still.
It's
like, Moon Knight or...
Moon Knight.
Yeah. I don't really... I'm not invested in Marvel comics. Is it related to Blade? But I don't think so.
It's like Marvel Monsterverse type stuff. Hmm. Is he a vampire? Werewolf?
No, what he's like Knight? I looked him up and apparently he's like a... Egyptian god that can like possess a human.
Oh, was it?
He's a mummy.
Oh,
basically, dang. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Did it kind of make an appearance at the end of the Eternals? Or was that something else?
No, I think that was related to Blade. This has Oscar Isaac as a main character.
All right. Okay. I'm looking up on Wikipedia, the true source of all knowledge. This is about the TV series. But I feel like I need just something about the character here.
A bit of a tangent.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the character.
This is a bit of a tangent, but I saw a little screenshot of a tweet, because I don't use Twitter, it's a bad app, that said, like, that, like, some people will have, like, their favorite Wikipedia articles, and I felt kind of called out.
Yeah.
I'm a bit weird.
That's fine.
All right, wait. Here we go. It's based on Moon Knight. Moon Knight is a fictional superhero character appearing in American comic books. Have you learned a lot so far?
Yeah.
Published by Marvel Comics.
This is crazy stuff.
We have learned a lot so far.
It looks like he has a cool outfit.
The son of a rabbi, Mark Spector, was a former Marine and CIA operative. I can't talk. And CIA operative who became a mercenary despite his conflicting feelings about violence and morality.
But he was a CIA operative.
During a job in the Sudan, he was appalled by ruthless fellow mercenary Raoul Bushman, and then attacked and killed by archaeologist Dr. Aral. After saving the archaeologist's daughter and colleague, Spectre was then mortally wounded by a Bushman to find himself drawn into... to a recently unearthed tomb for shelter and placed before a statue of Egyptian moon god Khonshu.
Oh, wait.
Spectre dies, but then is suddenly revived, fully healed. So it's basically he has been risen from the dead using Egyptian occult
type trippy stuff.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think I read about, in this little, meme, I think I heard that there was this one, comic book author that, wrote about characters inspired by his some regret working for the CIA, and I wonder if this was one of them.
It kind of sounds like it.
So he has ancient Egyptian powers or something like that, and I don't know.
Crazy
immortal
stuff. It's directed by the directors of The Endless, which is a really good independent horror movie that we've all
weird
seen.
Horror movie that we watched that was pretty good.
It's really fun. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to be, scary, so I'm really excited for that. And apparently Multiverse of Madness will be, a horror movie, too.
Really?
Yeah, that looks cool.
That looks really good.
Huh. Can I make a controversial hot take?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Book of Boba Fett's been kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
That's not a hot take.
No.
Book of Boba Fett is where I start to sympathize with people who are getting kind of, sci-fi
fatigue. I feel like if you were a diehard Star Wars fan, there's a lot of good fan service for it. And you'd be like, oh, cool. It's that kind of creature lives on Tatooine.
It's a not very Jabba fun, Hutt though. Monster guy.
But I don't know. It just, I feel like it's okay. It's just not as exciting. And I feel like the main actor is not that compelling.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if it's because it's not written very well or he's just not that charismatic. He's not a bad actor. I just don't know if he's a good fit for the character if you're going to make it exciting.
It's not a very compelling story. The Mandalorian was great and kind of surprised me. Honestly, honestly, when that started, I didn't expect to like it that much. But it was so great, how you just got to watch, him kind of grow as a character, and then there was Baby Yoda,
and it's very small scale funny. And just
it was just kind of these fun little episodes.
But it seems like Book of Boba Fett, it's been really kind of slow so far, and I don't feel like that's a show that should be slow. It should be fast paced.
It kind of feels like reading the history section of a Wikipedia article.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of the flashback scenes are really good. I think we all agreed on that.
Sometimes I feel I'm geeky enough to enjoy stuff, but not quite geeky enough to really enjoy it.
What makes a difference to me is I don't feel like we've been given any reason to care about the characters yet. I just don't care that much about them. I don't know. It's not terrible. I keep watching it. I just haven't gotten into it.
I don't think there's been a single episode that we've watched the night that it aired. Like we did with The Mandalorian. It was like, oh, it's on tonight. There's a new one.
Yeah, we've just been putting it off.
It's been do you want to watch it? Oh, maybe.
Kind of want to watch Community instead.
Yeah. I don't know. So it's been okay. We'll probably finish it, but
yeah, I feel like it hasn't really justified like its existence. Like it's just like, oh, it's some of the characters from The Mandalorian.
It's right. Yeah, yeah, there's like Star Wars-y nice. Stuff going on here.
And like
it's like Star Wars adjacent is like its biggest claim.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like it's like introducing that much like new or like fresh.
I mean, I did like the Sand People and the Tusken yeah. Raiders and what we learned about them.
That stuff was definitely the best.
But part. I feel like they could have done it quicker and more in a slightly more interesting way. You know, an example of this whole sort of thing, the way I feel about it is like there is a new Lord of the Rings based TV show coming on Amazon. Mm. I can't even remember what it's called, but it like all takes place like it's like a prequel to the Lord of the Rings books.
Hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know if I love Lord of the Rings enough to watch it. Maybe I'll try it out.
Yeah.
But if all it is just like world building, I'm going to be like, oh, snooze. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, and this is like an actually hot take, it kind of felt like watching Dune for me.
I liked Dune, but I get what you're saying because there's a lot of world building in Dune too.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Dune is the kind of movie where like people who didn't like it were kind of just like, oh, that's not really for me. But
yeah, the difference with Dune to me is like it had like defined characters that you kind of cared about, and it also was like visually really interesting.
I
just feel like it's small stakes. Like, why do we care? Why do we care? I don't know. It's not the fate of the universe, and it's not the fate of Baby Yoda.
Yeah. Well, you can have, like, small stakes, which is a really good Spoon song. you can have, like, smaller stakes and make things more small scale or kind of inconsequential as long as you have, like, really compelling characters.
Yeah.
And I feel like the characters here are just kind of
And sometimes when you have small stakes, they're, like, the best cut of steak, like a filet mignon.
Yes. Yeah. That's The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian is a filet mignon. But yeah. What we have here is just like,
it's like
some hamburger.
All you can eat steak at Sizzler. It's like this not going like, to be a very good know, cut of steak. Steaks, it's just like though. Your basic sirloin.
This I feel one's like what we've got here is a steak and shake.
Wow.
That's like three mixed metaphors.
No, this one's kind of like in another hot take, but this one's like the meat inside of a pot roast.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A steak maybe, burger.
Just dropping
maybe it's like a, when they try to call it a steak burger,
maybe it's
but it's
a
really
Salisbury,
just a burger.
Maybe it's a Salisbury steak.
Salisbury steak.
From a hungry man dinner.
Yeah.
Hmm.
How is your music coming along?
My mute, like
you and
like how
Henry
so?
Have been jamming a lot lately.
Oh yeah.
Is there anything interesting in that area?
Yeah, we tried to do a New Order cover. And like, so there is something really, I think anyone who's like played songs on piano and like tried to like do stuff by ear could relate to this. There's something really satisfying about hearing a song and just like just recreating it and just like the moment where it just clicks and it's like, whoa, this sounds exactly like what we're doing. We're recreating that. I think overall it kind of got there's a certain word I'm looking for.
Fun.
Kind of
the butchered? Word fun.
No,
butchered is a word.
It's like
it sounded good to me until it kind of went off the rails.
Yeah, well,
hearing
it just,
downstairs.
I don't know. There's just some. I think it was the fact that we were only doing it with two people. Like there needed to be multiple guitars.
Yeah.
It was still fun to do overall, though. Yeah. We've been trying to like combine like a drum machine and like a synthesizer with guitar, but it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it does. We're still experimenting with that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, there was a little on the subreddit Indie Heads. There's a little contest for Battle of the Bands where you just got to add your own music and like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like the like upvotes and downvotes would be hidden and the comments would be in random order and you just got to vote on like which one was the best on top 25 and make it. Mine, their results were like posted today. So that like the top 25 would be like in a bracket. Mine didn't make it, but I did get to like, I paid like $5 to master it. And like it suddenly got like a whole bunch of more lessons. Like it went from like 20 lessons to like 60 in like a
That's
week.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. And like, it was kind of cool hearing it mastered and it was still fun overall.
Yeah.
I think I really need to upload more on my SoundCloud, but, I kind of lucked out because my like most listened to tracks are like actually some of my best tracks.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Which is really relieving because there's some kind of not great stuff on there. But yeah,
that's kind of the way it works, right? the good yeah. stuff just sort of floats to the top.
Yeah, should, I've actually completely sold out because,
yeah.
well, my first EP was made on a laptop with a free version that sucked. My second EP was made on a laptop, but also had stuff on Audacity. And now I actually have professional equipment. So
I used to be a fan of your music before you were cool.
Yeah. Let's do some... I have so many listeners, almost as many as on this podcast.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have an article that is in our semi-regular series called Articles About Science that I don't really understand. This is definitely a science article that I think is cool, but I don't really understand. So I'm going to try to explain it, and I will do no decent job of explaining it. But scientists have tried to quantum entangle a tardigrade. So I always, when I see an article about tardigrades, I feel like it's something we have to talk about on the podcast because the tardigrade is almost like our unofficial mascot for the Talk to Dad podcast.
We love tardigrades.
Unofficial.
Tardigrades, in case you don't know, are microscopic animals. They live in ditches and on moss. They're also called water bears or moss piglets. And they are known to be extremely hardy. They can survive essentially in hibernation for like hundreds of years. What they do is they remove all of the moisture from their bodies and then they will come back alive when they become wet again. Because they're so hardy, they are often the focus of science experiments, like when they crash landed a bunch of tardigrades on the moon. We talked about that. That was controversial. This one as well is controversial. So some scientists in Singapore took a tardigrade and located it on what's called a superconducting qubit. So a really, really small thing that can either be on or off. It can be a one or a zero. And they put a tardigrade on it. And they claimed that they had entangled it in both quantum and classical physical realms. I don't know exactly what that means, but
none
it sounds
of us
cool.
Do.
But I do know that a lot of other scientists said, no, you didn't. They were like, I mean, yeah. It's kind of a cool experiment, but they didn't actually quantum entangle this tardigrade. They just kind of put it near the qubit, and it's no more entangled than the silicon on the silicon chip.
I've only ever heard some of these words in Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I think right. even then they didn't know what they were saying.
It's funny because in Ant-Man and the Wasp, there was a tardigrade.
Oh, yeah.
Movie, which yeah. is pretty funny.
Oh, shoot. They, like, entangled it into the movie.
They did. They, like, totally, anticipated this,
Maybe they inspired this science experiment.
Yeah, the MCU has gotten like so like fleshed out that it's like affecting real life now.
It's influencing science experiments.
Yeah. So this was done at a university in Singapore, the Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, and it says their team put living subjects collected from a Danish roof gutter in 2018. Like, they don't have tardigrades in Singapore. I don't know why they had to collect it from a Danish roof gutter. But apparently they did. And a cryptobiosis, which is their state of extreme...
Hibernation.
Yeah. Yes. Once they were in that state, the researchers placed the tardigrades, one in each experimental run, on a superconducting qubit, a quantum bit, which, unlike a regular computing bit, can represent zero or one simultaneously. They reported that tardigrades coupled with the qubit, based on a change in the system's resonance frequency, I'm just reading this and it makes me sound really smart. The frequency an object naturally vibrates at most excitedly, and posit that the combined tardigrade qubit system was entangled within a second adjacent qubit. Those qubits sat side by side on a larger silicon chip. So they say it was entangled in both a quantum physics system, and a classical physics system. And other scientists said, no, that's not what happened, but it would be really cool if they could do that. especially with something biological. Because tardigrades, although they are very small, they are much larger than an atom. And usually quantum entanglement happens at the atomic level with photons and atoms.
Well, what is quantum entanglement? Like, I still don't get, like,
none of what us this do. Means.
Like, anyone can even know that.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know, but it sounds really cool. And I have watched Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, so...
So we're experts
we're
now.
We're experts, yeah.
I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I have watched Ant-Man and the Wasp. And that is where most of my knowledge of tardigrades and quantum entanglement come from.
Yeah.
What does the Holiday Inn Express have to do
with
that?
They used to have these commercials on TV a while ago where someone would ask a question and say... And someone would say, well, I'm not an expert in blank, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I don't know.
Okay.
It was a marketing campaign a long time ago. I'm sure everyone missed that. So, you know.
Okay.
I'm just going to.
It's not very current.
All right.
Can I just look up like what quantum entanglement is?
You can. And while you're looking that up, maybe Allison can share her story.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Alexa, what is quantum entanglement?
Quantum entanglement is a state where a pair of photons, even when the photons are separated by great distances, seem to have instantaneous effect on the other photon when one is observed.
That's a pretty good explanation, actually.
Okay.
They said that a tardigrade had become quantumly entangled so that, like, another qubit, it was actually next to it on the little computer chip, but you could observe a change with the qubits and the tardigrade.
I still don't think string theory or quantum mechanics is real.
I don't know enough to know whether it's real or not. That's what I'll say.
It all seems fake to me, but it's cool. Whatever. Let's move on.
It can be interesting, especially in science fiction.
It can be. It's responsible for a lot of good science fiction.
And also Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
Allison, you want to share your story?
Sure. So this is a story. It's kind of, this is not quite a series, but I feel like there have been a few of these where an adult goes to extreme measures to avoid getting, a vaccine shot. And in this case, it is a 39-year-old man in Puducherry, which is in South India, kind of not too far from Chennai. Anyway, he actually, went viral for climbing a tree to avoid the healthcare workers who were trying to give him his vaccine.
Apparently they're pretty serious there and they go door to door and ask you if you've had your shot yet.
Yes. So his name is Muthubei. He is a 39-year-old and he climbed a tree to escape being administered the COVID-19 vaccine. He has repeatedly evaded all attempts of the primary healthcare officials to vaccinate him. In a video that is now going viral, he can be seen sitting on top of a tree as the healthcare workers urge him to come down and get his shot.
Someone needs to like make this into like one of the little like rage comic memes saying like, we have you surrounded, come out with your arm.
Yeah.
Like, uncovered.
Yeah.
Right. But with a real arm.
Up.
Right.
I hate vaccines.
So,
I hate vaccines.
I think a few episodes ago, we talked about I think he was a dentist in Italy who had a fake arm. And yes. He was trying to, And it didn't work. But in his case, I think he was like afraid of the actual vaccine. Like he was anti-vax. This person's reason, it's not the vaccine so much as he was told that he wouldn't be able to continue drinking alcohol for a few days after he got the vaccine.
Wow.
So he's been avoiding it for that reason. He doesn't want to take a few days off. Yeah. So he's climbing a tree and just like, and he just climbed a tree and waited until the healthcare workers finally left.
That was his only reason.
After all of this happened, he like still thinks he should be drinking this much.
Right.
Imagine him climbing a tree
after drinking a bunch.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think what they need to do is
they need a healthcare worker who's a better climber is what they need.
Will, do you want to share your story?
All right.
Or do we want to talk more about this?
No, I think,
we covered it.
Yeah, I think we covered it. I think it would be fun to follow his story and see if they ever catch up with him.
I love that he wasn't even anti-vax. He just
didn't want to stop drinking for a few days.
Rescuers attach sausages to drones to lure a dog to safety in England. Yeah, good job.
This is kind of a heartwarming story.
It is. I think it is. Rescuers working to draw a runaway dog away from dangerous mudflats in England lured the canine to safety by attaching a sausage to a drone. So, there was a little, like, it was a Jack Russell Terrier and a Whippet mix. I don't know what that is.
You know what a Whippet is? It's like a really skinny dog.
Ah, okay.
They kind of look like, they look a little bit like greyhounds. I'll pull up a picture. Jack Russell Terriers don't look that much like Whippets, but, you know, it's a mixed breed.
Wishbone is a Jack Russell Terrier, right?
They look like this. They're very tall and skinny.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of sleek looking. There's someone in our neighborhood that has a Whippet.
Oh, really?
So they kind of, yeah, they kind of look like Jack Russell Terriers already, I guess.
No, Jack Russell Terriers don't look like that.
Yeah, it could be
Jack Russell Terriers are just like little dogs, but Whippets are like tall and skinny usually. I'm not sure what a mix between them would look like, but I guess it'd be skinny and might look more like a Jack Russell than a Whippet, but I don't know.
So her name was Millie. She slipped out from her collar on a walk in Hampshire, England, and she just started wandering around mud flats that can apparently flood in high tide. She was gone for a couple days, and on day three, they just decided to just tie a sausage to a drone. and a neighbor who lived by the beach volunteered to cook sausages and added them to the drones with string. So it's kind of collaborative.
I guess the thing about Millie was she was very shy, so when strangers came up to her, she'd just run away. That would make it hard for her to catch. And then I guess also in these mud flats, like, it was areas where they couldn't drive vehicles, so it was really hard to get her, and they were worried she might get just stuck in the mud flats and never come out.
Yeah, so Dennis said, like, I think all of us cried. I was so thankful that she made it home. The way the community came together saved Millie. So yeah, it's a really heartwarming story of just, like,
that is very sweet.
Helping each other out.
I like that they have search and rescue drones, and I like that someone had the idea, well, let's try and strap a sausage to the drone.
Yeah.
It says she was very hungry and got hold of it at one point, probably because she was out there for a couple of days, and almost took the drone with her. She got about a half a sausage.
So she was able to eat half the sausage.
I want to see, like, a video of the dog just, like, floating on the drone.
There's got to be video of it, right? Because usually the video has...
Usually drones, yeah.
Drones have video footage. I don't know. Maybe they didn't, like, record it. Maybe they were just doing it live.
I'm imagining, like, the future of fishing being people with remotes just, like, attaching a worm to a drone and just, like, flying the fish up.
You could fish with drones. That'd be kind of fun. That'd be wild.
That'd be interesting.
I picture, like, the video of being, like, this point of view camera, and you see the little sausage, and you see this
face.
This dog mouth just coming Millie right face. At the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a really cute story. It's pretty goofy, but it's also very, like,
I'm glad they saved her.
That's pretty heartwarming.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Let's do some Would You Rather. I'm just going to open the Would You Rather app on my phone and see if I can find... They're trying to sell me the pro version, which has over 1,000 questions.
Wow.
Or do I want the normal one that only has 500 and contains ads? Yes, of course. That is the one I want.
Apps have too many ads, I swear. It's gotten out of control.
Oh, this one seems really easy. And it is something I have thought about before. Would you rather be the first to step on Mars and come back to Earth, or be the first to live on Mars and never come back?
This is a harder question than it sounds.
For me, this is super easy.
I mean, it depends on the circumstances around it. Like,
you know why it's easy? I'll explain why it's easy for me.
I guess.
I don't want to live on Mars. Mars would be a horrible place to live. Think about, like, the worst part of West Texas, and that times 1,000.
I don't think there's enough stuff that this question clarifies, like, to...
Has it been terraformed?
Make an opinion. Is it a colony?
It would be pretty cool to be the first to step on Mars, but I want to come back to Earth. I don't want to stay on Mars.
Yeah.
I guess come back to Earth. I'll explain why I'm a bit hesitant after, but...
Okay, well, 84% agree.
Okay, yeah.
What is your hesitancy?
So, I don't know if I'm ready to become, like, this world celebrity when I come back.
Oh, that's fair.
And also, I'm kind of terrified of being in a spaceship.
Just think of how famous you'd be on Mars, though. You'd be, like, one of the most famous people on Mars.
That's true. I'd also be the least famous, but...
Well,
would you be up there alone?
Surely you wouldn't be the only one.
That's the thing.
You'd be the first to live there, and then other people would join you.
Like, are you living there because of, like, climate change or because of, like, some sort of...
What if you live there with, like, 10 people you didn't like?
Oh, gosh. That would be horrible. Even if you liked them, I feel like 10 people might get old quickly.
Yeah. And I think that's whenever
there's,
people to...
If you have a really small group and there's drama, it's so bad. It's so bad. Because there's no refuge. You can't escape it.
Yeah. I think there's a Radiohead lyric about going to the moon and being a president, but actually having morals. Maybe I could be president on Mars.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe.
There's too much, like... There's too much stuff there that, like, doesn't really clarify in the question that
well, you have to consider. I mean, they can't put every detail.
Yeah, but I feel like it's especially the case with this one. I don't know.
What about this one? This one may be even more like that. Would you rather be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or be the president of a prominent country?
No.
Okay. So one of these is better morally. President.
No,
yeah.
I would want to be CEO because if you do a terrible job, then they remove you, but you still, like, usually, like, CEOs that resign in disgrace still carry off, like, millions of dollars.
Yeah, there's have you ever heard of golden parachutes?
I want the golden parachute.
A golden parachute is, like, when you have an agreement that if your company fires you, they have to pay you a lot of money.
Right.
So it's called the golden parachute, where it's like, okay, you can fire me, but I get millions of dollars.
Yes, and not
and
only
then
that.
I'm okay for the rest of my life. I don't have to work.
Not only that, but if you were president of... So, okay, people would know who you are if you were the president of a CEO. Like, if you were the CEO of a large corporation, people would know who you are, but not everybody would know who you are. And you probably, like, you wouldn't be super famous. People wouldn't recognize you on the street. If you were president of a large country... then people would recognize you on the street and people would hate you.
The thing is,
does not Canada everybody. Count as
well,
a prominent
CEOs
country?
Are known yes. for being loved by everyone.
No, but not everybody recognizes them.
The thing is,
presidents are known for being loved by everyone as well.
Okay. If
everyone loves the president.
If I speak my
you
opinion.
You have a degree of anonymity. If you could remain like, you know, unrecognized at a grocery store. If you were the president.
Fortune 500. Yeah.
There's three things here.
You wouldn't have to be super well known.
First of all, if I speak my opinion on certain CEOs on this podcast, well, I'll choose not to. We would have to change the rating of this podcast. Second of all, I think I might be good at, like, advertising and marketing and that kind of field, but I'm also interested in politics and, like, stuff like that. And I forgot what the third one was. So
do you want to know the results? This one was actually fairly evenly divided.
Yeah, I can see that.
53% said be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and only 47% said the president of a prominent country.
What
That's
did
still
you
pretty
pick,
close,
Greg?
Though. I picked CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
I think that's the right response.
This one's like really easy and low stakes. Would you rather take a picture or have your picture taken? I know what I would choose. And I think this one is obvious.
I'd rather take
for
a picture.
Me.
Yeah, I'd rather take a picture.
If you go through my camera roll when I come home from a vacation, I take lots of pictures of things and other people. I take very few pictures of myself.
Yeah.
When I went to India a few years ago, my coworker that like was with me a lot of the time, he kept wanting to take pictures of me. And I was like, I don't want pictures of me, but I had to be polite because he was trying to be polite. He thought I wanted lots of pictures of me in India. I only wanted pictures of India. I didn't want pictures of me.
You know,
I already know what it looked like.
You should take pictures of yourself. Like,
so you can prove you were actually there. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I would much rather.
I would way rather take a picture than have my picture taken. That's I'm sure true. There are people who believe the opposite, though. They would rather have their picture taken.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll, like, take
I
pictures
bet
of
the
myself,
majority...
like, if I have, like, an outfit I think is cute. But
I haven't clicked on this yet, so I don't know.
I bet the majority would
probably
rather take a
picture. Probably take their own picture. Yeah.
Take a picture or have your picture taken.
Like, take a picture. Yeah. I mean, you can take, like, the same kind of picture either way, just from different angles.
63% did say take a picture versus have your picture taken. I think a lot of people don't like having their picture taken. I know I don't. No, it makes me a little uncomfortable. Like, I don't hate it, but it's kind of like, I don't know.
I kind of hate it.
I would almost rather someone like take a picture without me knowing.
Also,
so
when
I can be natural.
Also, when people like
could like pose for a picture,
and people like adjust the camera, and then they'll wait like 10 minutes until they actually take the photo, and like your face is just slowly melting into
like
a worse and worse expression.
I feel like this is directed toward me. I feel called out.
It kind of
Sometimes also, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for you to look a little bit more natural.
Also, getting my picture taken yesterday at the
senior trip.
This one's kind of weird because it presumes things about the person answering the question.
Hmm.
Would you rather never have a job or never have a significant other? They're saying that like having a job is a bad thing.
Wait, like not having a job is a bad thing.
Would you rather never have a job or never... No, I guess they're not really.
Yeah.
Never have a job or never have a significant other.
Wait, no. I guess in one scenario,
they're saying you would always be unemployed. And in another scenario, you would never have...
Yeah, they're saying it like having a job is like a good thing.
A partner.
Yeah, you can just be a stay-at-home parent. So yeah, that's obvious. Yeah, never have a job.
I mean, never
is different than like...
I'm assuming they mean like a paid job.
Yeah.
Like a job that earns actual money. Because that's exactly, I mean, I had a significant other.
Sold into slavery.
I wasn't sold into slavery.
Yeah, so.
I willingly got married. I worked for a few years. And then when dad got a job that was more lucrative than my job, I quit and stayed home with the kids.
I was reading this wrong at first. I'll admit it.
Yeah.
I thought they were saying that like it's better to never have a job. But no. But 57% said never have a job.
That's too low. You can just stay at home. Like, I don't see the problem.
Well, you'd have to find a significant other that makes enough
to... Well, then you can just show them, like, hey, I picked this little thing on this Would You Rather. And, yeah, well, you know the drill.
Okay.
Also, listen to my podcast.
All right, okay. Last one. This one is interesting, but not that interesting. Not that difficult, but interesting to talk... I don't know. Would you rather... be able to visit 100 years in the past or be able to visit 100 years in the future. So would you rather visit 1922?
I feel like this one's a classic.
Or 2122.
One. This one's kind of a classic.
Yeah.
I would say past because I feel like there's something just wrong about visiting 100 years in the future.
There's something uncertain about it. Like if you went 100 years in the future, would there be a future?
And well, also like it's more risky.
Yes. Like, I feel like you would know the pitfalls of visiting 1922, or at least some of them.
Yeah. Like, you know what to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, there's cool stuff to visit in the future. Like,
one thing they never talk about with these things, like time travel, is it just time travel or is it time and location travel? Like, can you pick the place that you visit?
Yeah.
Because if I'm, like, right here in Frisco, Texas, 100 years ago... there's probably nothing around
me. There's like a railroad.
It's just a field.
I don't know.
It's a
maybe
field.
There's some farmhouses. But if you could visit, I don't know, New York City in the Roaring Twenties, that might be kind of cool.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
But
then you also don't want to be like in, I don't know, some war-torn country in 100 years ago.
Yeah, it would be cool if there's like regimes or like countries or whatever that like I've read about that I think are cool I'd like to visit. So yeah, I'd say past.
Yeah.
The past seems like a safer bet.
Also, with the future...
I don't think it's going to be voted for, but...
I don't know. With the future, too, I feel like, what if it's terrible? Would you want to know that everything goes, like,
what if everything's underwater?
You might also have a really difficult time understanding what's going on around you.
Yeah.
You know? Which, in the past, it's like, well, at least you know all the technology they have. You don't know all the technology they have in the future.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see what... other people said, we all agree, 100 years in the past. Only 26% said that.
Yeah, I figured.
74% said 100 years in the future.
Because, like, yeah, there's going to be, like, cool technology and
now,
stuff.
Now, if you make it 1,000 years, then I think it's much more difficult.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
I think know. I wouldn't want to do either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Often that's the case with Would You Rather. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Santi is joining us for Treat Yourself. Henry
Hi.
Saw what we were trying for Treat Yourself and declined. He's backing away. We have three kinds of potato chips from Zapps, which is a New Orleans potato chip company. We have... spicy Cajun crawtaters. I guess they are spicy crawfish flavor. We had crawfish today. Did you know you had crawfish today?
I did not.
It was in the gumbo that I made today.
Yeah,
there was crawfish tails. You know what a crawfish is?
To be honest,
it's like a cheap version of a lobster. They're
smaller.
They're kind of in freshwater.
Oh, wait. Maybe I know what you're talking about. Maybe I use them as baits for fishing.
Yes, you can use them as bait for fishing.
Then I have used them for baits for fishing. You know that you can eat them raw. You can also eat them. You can eat them raw.
You can eat them raw. I've never eaten one raw. Usually they boil them.
No, it's awful. You shouldn't, though. But you can.
You could.
So, cangrejo? De Rio?
Maybe? No, I don't think that's what we're talking about.
No?
No, cangrejo is crap.
But river.
Yeah, no.
Mm. And we have three flavors. We have the first one was spicy Cajun crawtaters. We have hotter and hot jalapeno. And we have one called Evil Eye. Evil Eye.
I really wonder what does
really good.
Evil Eye taste like. What flavor that's supposed to be.
There's a really good Franz Ferdinand song called Evil Eye.
On the back it says, "Beware the Evil Eye." The famous New Orleans voodoo queen, Marie Laveau, was rumored to have one. In this spirit, Zapp's Evil Eye kettle-style potato chips are subtle with mild heat, yet bursting with flavor. I don't know what flavor, though. All right, which one should we try first?
Maybe the spicy... I always thought it was Cajun.
Cajun.
It's Cajun.
Cajun? You pronounce Cajun. That's weird.
It's Cajun.
Yeah, I mean, that one.
We've talked about this before, because they come from the Acadia region in Canada. And then they became the Cajuns in Louisiana.
In the Spanish, we say Cajun, so now I'm sticking with that since I hear Will say the same pronunciation.
They smell pretty good to me. Spicy Cajun crawtaters is the first flavor we'll try. What do you guys think of the spicy Cajun crawtaters flavor?
Excellent.
It pretty much just tastes like barbecue chips, but slightly spicier.
Yeah. I also think they're really good. I think they're delicious.
Yeah, I like barbecue chips.
I like them a lot.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah, really good.
There's a little bit of a crawfish flavor in there, but not much. They're not overwhelming.
And not
terribly spicy. If you ate the whole bag, it'd be a little spicy.
I think this is actually, for me, not really exciting because my school would sell this, not this brand, but they would sell this exact flavor in my school.
Oh yeah, something very similar.
Like, yeah.
What flavor? Like, what did they call the flavor?
They acknowledged that it was an artificial flavor, so it was literally called artificial flavor chips or something like
that. Wow, that sounds exciting.
That's weird. Yeah.
It was really good, to be honest.
We've talked about before that in Spain there are a lot of different kinds of potato chips.
Oh, it's a wonder. There is an entire aisle for wine, but there is also an entire aisle for potato chips.
All right, let's try the Evil Eye flavor. I don't know what flavor this is supposed to be. They're kind of bright red in the bag.
Oh.
They kind of look like a spicy Cheetos flavor.
Mm.
But I don't know. Mm. Let's see.
That sounds interesting.
Did everybody rate the spicy Cajun crawtaters?
Yeah,
did everybody think they were delicious?
They were delicious,
yeah. They were delicious.
All right, we thought they were delicious.
Yum, yum, yum,
like, I feel like I've had spicy macaroni and cheese before, and it's tasted like this.
So really what do we think of the Evil Eye? It kind of tastes like paprika and ketchup to me
a little bit. Yes, they taste like spicy ketchup. They're good.
I don't know how to describe them, but to be honest, I'm surprised that I have tried this before. Like,
yeah.
I'm already used to these flavors. I'm so disappointed.
I like it, though. I think this one's good, too.
Yes, it's a delicious,
of course.
Like it.
It's a good flavor. It's not terribly spicy. With a name like Evil Eye, I expected them to be, like, really spicy.
Yeah
or, like,
a weird flavor, like a flavor that is shocking.
Yeah.
This is not shocking.
They are, like, just the right amount of spiciness.
Or a flavor that pops in your mouth, you know.
I feel like Henry probably should have just tried these.
Yeah.
They're not as bad as...
I think Henry will like these, actually.
They are actually really common.
Maybe we need to get him in here. And then the last one, now this one is really making a claim. It is hotter than hot jalapeno.
Mm, interesting.
They smell like jalapeno.
I'm weak.
But I don't know if they're really that hot, but we'll see. Are they really that hot?
No, but they have the smell.
Well, they have like
I feel like there's a slow burn. Like if you kept eating them, that'd probably build up a little.
Yeah. Well, there's like a certain jalapeno flavor.
It does taste like kind of jalapeno-ish.
And I think that flavor is kind of associated with really, really spicy stuff.
No, it's not too spicy, but at least it makes your mouth water. That is like an interesting feeling, at least.
Mm-hmm. This sounds weird, but I'm kind of debating over whether I really like it or I kind of just acknowledge that, like, it's really good.
Well, let's give it the first two. Everyone gave a delicious two. What about mm-hmm. this one?
I think it just gives me flashbacks to spicy Jelly Bellies, which were not only extremely spicy to the point where they're inedible, but they just didn't have a very good flavor.
There's not as much flavor in this one. Like,
I guess an okay.
They smell maybe a high strong. Okay.
They smell strong. They don't taste strong.
I would say okay.
Like, they're not bad.
Allison, do you think it's an okay also?
I think it's an okay.
I kind of think it's an okay too, especially compared to the first two. I thought the first two were really good, and this one's just okay. I mean, it's not terrible. I didn't want to spit it out or like... I would maybe eat some more, like if I bought a bag for my lunch or whatever.
They just don't have as much flavor.
But I like the, especially liked the first two.
Mm-hmm. But the
Evil
first
Eye is
one.
Pretty good, and the spicy Cajun crawtaters are really good.
And I like the first one, especially because it reminds me a lot of chips that I would buy, like the cheapest ones that I could buy.
Yeah.
I mean, how much do you think they cost if they are called artificial flavored chips?
They're all pretty good, though. I think the Zapp's chips tend to be pretty good. Even though normally I don't love kettle chips, these are pretty good for kettle chips, too.
They are really good.
Yeah, so, they have really good texture and stuff.
So that is Treat Yourself, quality. And that is our podcast. Thank you, Santi, for joining us for Treat Yourself.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Allison and Will, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talktodebpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at talktodebpodcast on Facebook and Instagram and at TTDpodcast on Twitter. If you want to help us out, there's two things you could do. One, you can tell a friend about this family-friendly podcast. And the other thing you can do is leave us a good review. If you find a way to leave us a good review wherever you found the podcast, that will help other people be able to find the podcast as well. So we very much appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time for-